Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and what I want to talk to you today about, I got back from IWC, as you know, and I want to talk about FirstNet, because FirstNet's going to be a lot of work for everyone in deployment, and I just want to give you some feedback about what's going on and why it's taken so long, or at least what the feedback is that I got out there to show. So, one of the things that they talked about, they had a lot of sessions on it. I sat in a lot of sessions out there because I'm trying to learn, you know, trying to gain some knowledge here. So one of the things that they talked about was the State of the States was a session they had. And what that was where the states actually gave their opinion with FirstNet about what they thought. And the theme was communication, right? Because here you have the feds trying to build out a national network. And they said the FirstNet's getting better, but there's still a lot of guesswork. Like, as you guys know, in this business, you have the rumor mill. So what happens when they don't have all the information, people, you know, make stuff up. I know that's not common in the wireless industry. I'm being sarcastic there because, as you guys know, we make stuff up. Either that or we jump to a conclusion quick here in one thing. So I'm just asking you to be patient here. So that's the first thing that they talked about, because the way this FirstNet build is going to happen is they're going to try to build out a nationwide network, and they have a lot of stringent contingencies that they have to follow. What do I mean by that? When a carrier builds out based on profitability. So they're going to build out in the metropolitan areas, knowing that they're going to sell more phones in that area. FirstNet will probably start the same way because they know that public safety is a necessity in a metropolitan area, but one of the requirements is they have to cover the real estate for the problem areas, say, you know, when you're looking at Montana or the Grand Canyon or, you know, something where its population is sparse, but we still need emergency services for all those people that travel in those areas and could get hurt, you know, that need rescue or anything that happens, a manhunt, you know, just use your imagination. Anywhere there's public safety, which is pretty much everywhere across the U.S., and if you're just thinking of the police and fire, why don't you stretch it a little bit and think of the game commission, what they have to cover. Think of emergency rescue. Think of a plane goes down out in the middle of nowhere. You still need rescue services. And when you're out in the middle of nowhere, it's hard to set up, say, a cell on wheels. So that's my point. They have to cover much more than a carrier would, probably in the same amount of time. I know this is going to sound funny, but believe it or not, they'll need more than $7 billion to do it. It's very expensive to build these systems out, an LTE system. So with all that said, I know I'm rambling here, but bear with me. So when I was sitting out in these sessions, I learned that the states are very concerned because they would like a broadband public safety system for more than just video. I mean, they're really looking at emergency services, rescue, and things like that. It's very important that they have some means to communicate everywhere. They have their two-way systems, but I don't know if you ever worked public safety. They're not always interoperable. You have Tetra systems, you have P25, you have just two-way communications. You know, public safety still relies on cell phones a lot. And some of them have broadband systems. I don't know if you remember, part of WiMAX was a 4.9 gigahertz system that they reserved for public safety. I know I'm getting off point here. But they have a need for broadband. So let me go on here. By the way, I'd like to thank Tower Safety, towersafety.com. for sponsoring me. I do appreciate them as a sponsor. So we're the best get better. They do the OSHA 10 tower competency, and you know, they have all the services that you should need when you're a tower company. OSHA 10, OSHA 30, authorized climber, competent climber, train the trainer, RF awareness, and they have CPR and first aid. So I have a video in there about how to inspect your harness too. Thanks to, it was on YouTube, Josh Stremmer of towerclimber.com put it on there. So it was nice that he had that up there. And it's nice to see the people at towersafety.com or Tower Safety. I say towersafety.com because that's way to go to their website. Anyway, so now there are a lot of moving parts to FirstNet. I mean, it's not just building out the network to sustain a public safety broadband network for the long haul. And that's a problem that a lot of people are going to have to deal with. In the old days, when you build a system, you build it up, you maintained it, it would last 10, 20, maybe 30 years. These LTE systems, you're constantly doing upgrades. Things are constantly getting better, faster, and they're changing. Just think of your cell phone. How long do you keep a cell phone now? Do you really keep it for more than do you really keep it for more than 2 years, let's say, on the long side? Most people don't. They're always looking at bigger, better, newer, faster, and that's something that they're going to have to deal with this. Whereas on the old systems, it was push to talk. You push a button, you talk. You release a button, you listen. You might pass data. Data was a big deal. You might get a text, you know, and say, you know, the emergency's at this address. So why am I bringing that up? Because that's going to be a mind shift for these systems. You know, in the old days, you put it in, you didn't put a new system in for 15, 20 years. Today, you're going to constantly upgrade the system, perhaps swap it out in 10 years. Sounds like a long time, but it's really not. These carriers are always doing upgrades. Let's look at the average, just so you guys know, like the average major shift in telecommunications for wireless is 10 years. You went from 2G to 3G to 4G and now 5G. And it's getting shorter, you know, because everything's happening so much faster. Anyways, let's go back to FirstNet. I keep getting off on these tangents. Sorry about that. But the other thing that they have to deal with here is politics, right? Like when you're in a company, the politics really revolve around money. What the biggest payback's going to be, and also the latest features and marketing. There's a lot to it, but really the bottom line's a dollar. With public safety, the bottom line's going to be reliability as well as money. They got to do everything within a budget, right? And they got to figure out how to make it sustainable and make it lasting. So back to the states are very concerned about that because traditionally what happens is the feds start something and then if they pull funding, it's on the states to maintain it. The feds would probably deny that, but that's really how it is. That's the way I see it. Let me put it that way. In my opinion, that's what I see. And for those of you that have ever done work for the state, you probably know that as well. Sometimes they can go back to the feds and request more money. Sometimes it's a lawsuit. You have state suing the feds. And we'll just have to see what happens. But anyway, the feds are starting out pretty strong. From the auction, they got $7 billion. So with that, you know, they have quite a bit to start with, which is a good sign. You know, they aren't just scraping for money with this as well. So anyway, so we had a lot of people there. We had, let me see if I can read your names here. We had Daryl Anderson, Major, the Ohio Marks, Ohio SWIC, SIEC Administrator from New Mexico. Well, I didn't see her, but Jacqueline Miller was supposed to be there. But when I walked in, I don't know if I missed her or what was going on. But Todd Early was there at Texas, and there were a lot of people in this session. But they really have a good grasp on what they want to do in their states. Now, all they have to do is align with what FirstNet wants to do. And it's also very confusing with the opt-in, opt-out. There's a lot of issues with FirstNet. I won't get into them here. You guys can read about it. But for Ohio, Mr. Anderson laid out a plan where they were going to reach out to all the counties and talk to them. He had a pretty good plan there. And that was part of what they want to do because when you're dealing with the government, you have the feds, you have the states, you have the counties, you have the cities. Let's say you might have municipalities. I know in Maryland, when I did work there, the counties and the state worked very well together and the different departments. And in each state, you have all these different departments too. You know, I mean, that's something to think about. Because remember, even though this is public safety, you have law enforcement, you have fire rescue, and you're also going to have the emergency rescue. That could be broken down as a state entity, or it could be a county. Like here in Pennsylvania, you have the state police, but then you have county police, you have regional police, you have city police, like for instance, like Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, York. You have these bigger cities and towns that have their own police forces. All these people have to work together, okay? Then on the federal level, you know, you have Homeland Security, you have the FBI, you have Border Patrol. I'm sure I'm missing something up there, but you know, you have so many different groups that somehow have to come together and agree on what they're going to use this for. And then the thing comes to the feds, whoever runs, I imagine, FirstNet, but whoever runs the FirstNet system, whether it's on the federal level or the state level, they're going to have to provide devices. And the devices are probably going to be a lot of video. But they eventually want to talk over this, right? They want to have like a phone system. They want to be able to make phone calls. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because the states are going to be very involved, and it's very political. And when you have that many groups trying to work together and trying to fund this thing and trying to deploy it, I just think it's going to really drag out a little bit. I hope they work together. I think that these guys are really making an effort. I see the states, you know, they're really interested to find out more details. They really want to make this a success. But their biggest thing right now is communication, because FirstNet, you know, they'll go, you know, full blast for a while. They'll go full bore, balls to the wall. They'll just go crazy. They'll put a lot of stuff out. They'll have the meetings, and they are trying to educate the states, but it takes time. You know, it's more than just the 52 states. They have tribes, and they have other, like Puerto Rico, you know, they have other territories they have to worry about. So I think it's like 56 total. And they're trying to get all this done. And they have to deal with states that are heavily populated, say like New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, California, but also states like Montana, Wyoming, Alaska that aren't as densely populated and that will be more of a challenge to roll out. And if anyone does carrier work, you know, in Alaska, it's very hard to roll out. Plus, they have another challenge in Hawaii. I don't know if you know much about Hawaii, but you got to hop to all the islands. And I know for a fact from the carrier work, one of the requirements was, I think they have to have so much coverage on each island to be in that state, very regulated state. And, it's a real challenge for these guys to cover all these, you know, sparsely populated islands. And then you have like Honolulu, which is heavily populated. So anyway, so I know I'm getting way off point, but the states really want to work with FirstNet. They want this new system. They're really excited about it. But by the same token, it has to be a team effort. And I think FirstNet is working on making it a team effort. I think they're getting organized. I think they're still doing a lot of testing. I don't know if you guys know much about systems, but what you have a core, which is going to, that's the core is basically the data area where all the networking traffic goes through, okay? And that's going to control all the transmitters connected to the RAN, the radio access network. So the RAN is what these guys are going to get to build, and they're going to what maybe maintain or control or whatever. But the core is where all the data comes through. That's going to control everything. You have the same thing with the carriers. You know, it's really a same system. So what they want to do is work together. They want to get the system built, and they want to do it in a financially responsible way. They don't understand a lot of things like the opt-in and opt-out. That was a big thing, at least when I was listening there. It's not really clear to them what opt-in and opt-out mean. Opt-in means you're in with the feds, and you're going to build it. Opt out means that the feds are going to build it without you in your state. It's like it doesn't make any sense. You know, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just work with them? But I don't fully understand it either. It's very confusing yet. So I think FirstNet, as far as the paperwork goes, has a lot of clarification to do as well. But I wanted to give you guys some feedback that this deployment isn't going to happen right around the corner like we all thought or like I hoped. You know, I was hoping it would start in 2016. Boy, I got to tell you, I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe it'll start in 2017. I know, I forget who it was. I don't have it in front of me, but someone at FirstNet thought that they would have it all done by 2022, which would be great. I don't know about all done, but, you know, at least have it started and being built by 2022. It's just going to take a long time. Another reason it takes a long time is because if it's put in the state hands to build, you have to make sure if you want to work, hopefully you'll be on state contract. Now, I know they're going to probably have the bigger contractors be on state contract and then hire out, you know, all you tower guys, all you guys with one or two crews. That's probably how it's really going to work. So I know I went around in circles and didn't tell you as much as you would have liked, but my point here is this work's coming up. It's probably going to hit, let's say, 2016, 2017. It's still a ways away. However, if you're not in state contract, you might want to get on state contract. This would be the time to do it. You might want to just follow this a little bit and see what the work's going to be. Now, if you guys are already on state contract or doing county, state, or city work, this is something you might be expecting, and maybe you just don't care. Maybe you're just going to go about and do your work as usual, and then they'll call you when they need you. And it may work that way. You know, they call you when they need you. So with all that said, if you're ready for this work and you're ramped up for it, great. I think that it's going to be a lot of work. I think it's going to be years and years of work, But the problem is, when I'm saying years and years of work, I'm looking at the big picture. I don't know how long the states are going to have to build out their systems. I know, we'd imagine, depends on the size of the state, the population, and all that. But, you know, for each state, it is going to be a little bit of time. If FirstNet can use that to have the states each build their own network, I think things will go a lot faster. But you guys might be pulled into a lot of work. And that's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm looking at. It's going to be a lot of work for all you guys with all these sessions. You know, all these sessions were full. FirstNet's a big deal in public safety. It's a big deal for wireless I say public safety, but really it's going to be more than public safety, because if it grows the way they want it to grow, it's going to start with public safety, and then it's going to grow to, say, the utilities, all the utilities out there that need it. It's going to grow to other services. And we still don't know how it's going to play out yet. They want a private-public partnership to make this happen. And if that happens, you know, you could have, you know, either a carrier partner with them, a carrier meaning AT&T Wireless, Verizon Wireless, or a Sprint, or maybe even T-Mobile. Or maybe you could have a new player in, like Google. Maybe Google will jump in and say, hey, let's go. Let's make this happen. And then they would have their own wireless network. It'd be, you know, Google Wireless. So you could have Google Wireless out there laying things out. Anyway, get ready, guys. The work will be here, but you got to be really patient. I know as far as work goes, 2015 is going to be a slow year. It's going to be tough. So just bear with it. Hey, don't forget, sponsor is Tower Safety. I would like to thank them for everything they've done for me. I really appreciate it. I have all my products. Remember, if you need scope of work, if you want to round out your scope of work skills, I have a training course for that. And as always, I want you to support the Hubble Foundation. Just stop, and if you're a member of the Tower family, if you work in wireless, and show the family you have love to give. Donate to the Hubble Foundation today, because Hubble does a lot for these fallen climbers and their families. I mean, it's not just the climber, it's the families. They also do a lot for climbers that get injured, for climbers that are down and out. They don't talk about it much because, you know, they keep it very private. And if you've ever been through anything like that, which I talk to people that have, I never have, but if you've ever been through an accident or anything, the first thing everybody does is lawyers up. Those guys, get the lawyers out there right away. And the reason I'm giving you a heads up about that is because it's very hard for us to get information about anything that happened until there's a hearing or a court case, until someone's on it. There's a lot of gag orders, and I still didn't write anything up about that, but it's just, personally, it's frustrating for me because I'm trying to get the facts out. All right, everyone, be smart, be safe, follow the plan, but don't be afraid to adapt, improvise, and overcome your obstacles. All right, see you.